Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau, and today we're joined by two new label mates or experts in their field, as well as our very own content expert, Josh Nixon, from the Label Sessions team. Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
So just a quick introduction to who we're speaking to today. We have Ana Costa Silva, the global AI and data transformation expert. Ana builds end-to-end AI strategies that actually deliver combining deep technical knowledge, cultural fluency, and global leadership experience to make transformation practical, scalable, and inclusive. Also, a big hello and welcome to Morris Doyle, the brand builder who scales with soul. Morris brings sharp commercial instinct, creative vision, and deep drinks industry experience to the table, scaling brands like Bacardi, Compass Box, and Suntory without losing what made them special. Awesome. So our first topic of the day is an interesting one because it's sort of about AI, it's sort of about regulations. In the UK right now, regulators are getting worried about how many people are getting financial advice from AI tools. For over a decade, regulators have been trying to make it easier for consumers to tell when they're getting advice and when they're being sold to. But now consumers seem very happy to just get answers from ChatGPT or Google, even TikTok. And there's very little that banks and other financial services seem to be able to do about it. If you're a leader in financial services right now, or any regulated space really, that has a high rate of potentially unknowledgeable influencers, how should you be responding to consumers who have got advice from doubtable sources? How do we feel about the sort of rise in influencers around these regulated spaces?
I think if I was a leader in the financial services, and this would be a great opportunity to fuse the benefits that generative AI can bring also with human leadership. Because if you look at financial advice, there are a few more important decisions at a human level than getting the right financial advice. Mm-hmm. It shapes the major decisions we make in our life, maybe mortgages that we're going to commit to, maybe saving for retirement, saving for children's education. The stakes are big. If you get decisions right, happy days. If you don't get the decisions right, then the implications can be very, very significant. So if I was a financial advisor, I would be a financial leader. I would be working on building on our trust and the importance of long-term relationships and the confidence that you can have in the entity that I represent, because we've been doing this for a period of time. It's not something you can afford to have a large learning machine make a hallucination and make a big mistake, because as I mentioned, the impact is very, very significant. So by all means, I think AI can really streamline the service that we offer to our consumers, and they can also benefit the consumers directly themselves. But I would, as a leader, I would look to leverage what we can do uniquely that generative AI can't do. And at one level, there has always been unknowledgeable influencers in financial services. It might be a friend who claims to know something but doesn't. It may be a door-to-door salesman in years gone by. So this is the latest manifestation of a new problem. But this is such an important area. I would really communicate the importance of trust.
And Morris, I was thinking about this from like more within your expertise. I know that there's been sort of talk of using AI in marketing, particularly drinks for Coca-Cola with their most recent Christmas advert, which we've talked about on the podcast before. But I was wondering, how is it sort of, has it changed any sort of like the internal properties of like market, not necessarily marketing drinks, but building drinks brands? Has it changed anything sort of within teams necessarily from your work that you've seen?
At the moment, what I've seen is that it's definitely step changing the business model in terms of how we drive efficiencies. But the fundamental of kind of connecting brands with consumers, the principles still apply, but it's changing the tactics in terms of how we do it. I think we're at early stages though in terms of the journey, and yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to happen next.
Ana, how do you feel about it? I mean, this is right up your alley in terms of sort of the data, AI, those sort of things, data transformation. How do you feel about the sort of Where do we get our information from?
First off, AI is here and it's not going to go anywhere for a bit, right? So we need to embrace it and integrate it and use it for our best, but also for the greater good. And yet be very aware of how it's harming us and what it doesn't do for us. Right? Recently, I read in the news that this couple was booking a flight to go somewhere, and then they checked on ChatGPT whether they needed a visa. And of course, you know, visa, country, name, Spain, Portugal, no, you don't need a visa. And so they lost their flight because a language model is designed to predict the next best word. That's all it's doing, is predicting the next word, considering everything you're talking about. And as it's predicting the next word, you can imagine a forest with lots of trees and clouds, and there's mist, and you don't really know, so you're maybe going to go to the right, to the left, and oh, there's a connection for you. That's it, right? It might get things really well, and it's amazing at summarizing large bulks of information, but don't go for the detail. For the detail, you go to your favorite search engine and maybe, you know, eventually link to the page of the website of the company, of the country. You know, you have to go and check your sources. That's it, right? And but people don't know that yet. And so we need to, as a society, to bring this information to them. And it's everybody's roles, right? The other day I was using ChatGPT on my company browser, and below at the bottom it said, ChatGPT can give you wrong answers. Thank you. Very, very useful to know. And then I changed browser where I log in as me, and the warning wasn't there. There's no warning. It's like, no.
Oh, that's scary.
All the time. It's a fuzzy walk. Well,
but even if the warning is there, it's usually in like very tiny text at the bottom of the screen. Like it can maybe make
you know, I put it there, you know, even if it's tiny, it's on me that I didn't read it. But, and you know, the leaders and the creators of the AI models are telling every day to people, don't trust it, check your sources. So this information needs to reach them. So as a owner, as a person working in the financial institution, I might have a pamphlet with quotes from them, with links to their corporate websites with the quotes to say, look, I know ChatGPT seems like our friend and it's really nice. It does, you know, give you wonderful romantic advice and relationship advice and how to deal with your mother. All of these things is really great, but it's not very good when it comes to legal information, especially when it's something so detailed as the differences between the legislation in the US and Portugal, right? Or the UK and whatnot. So yeah, I think it's a cultural responsibility at the end of the day.
Just that idea of sort of like the sources, right? Because we've seen now that ChatGPT in particular pulls about 70% of its data from places like Reddit, which are essentially just people saying things. And we're seeing countries like China now put in these regulations where if you're giving financial or healthcare or any sort of these pieces of advice that have a significant impact, you need to have some sort of qualification linked to that. And I'm going to be really interested to see what happens to a lot of the sort of influencers within the financial space and the healthcare space who have just been sort of creating a lot of content and saying a lot of things that obviously gets cataloged and built into these GPTs. And what happens now with this requirement? And I really hope that we do roll out something similar to the rest of the world, so that we do know that when we're getting financial advice or healthcare advice, it's from a reputable source rather than just, that guy down the road who has a bank account and you know, happens to have some money in it, which is the case for a lot of these financial influencers. So
probably wants to get you to buy the stock that he already bought. That's the thing.
He's just trying to get you to, you know, pump it up a little bit. I really do hope that these sort of regulations in terms of the influencers, and then therefore the sources of where we're getting this information comes from starts to become a bit more regulated, because hopefully that then takes us away from some of the missteps. So, you know, if you're going to give someone visa advice, you need to have some sort of a travel background at least to be able to provide that.
Because it's before AI, it's the social media aspect, right? And before social media was in, where everybody was advising everybody on things they don't know and just being noisy and getting views It's now it's a lot about hate speech and polarization of points of views just to get people involved. But before that, the previous generation, they had the news. They had the news. And the news was, and even TV had a sort of, seemed to have a social responsibility towards education, towards quality information. And that is just lost. And I think it's fractioning our society in a lot of ways that scare me. And also when you see young children being exposed to that filth, you know, it's just wrong. And in fact, several countries are now putting legislation that children should not have mobile phones. They should not be allowed to have social media until they are like 14, because, you know, and even then. And so I also hope that we'll do more to protect our children from this mess and let them have the opportunity to experience the physical world and the relationships around them. The internet, the data behind the internet comes from Western, Northern countries mostly. There's a bit of Brazil, there's zero Africa, very little Southern Europe, a bit of Asia, some Australia, lots of US. And so it represents a biased view of values. The values of slow eating, that we, for example, are lost in the social media world. Or the way that my grandmother used to meet with the entire village to unwrap the corn from the leaves, you know, and sing songs and dance around the fire. This is part of a culture of that makes you who you are, and it's lost on our children. So yes, we need to make sure that we find a way to bring reputable sources to social media again, and those will feed into the AI models and maybe start getting them to be a bit more trustworthy where it counts.